to another episode. Well, this one being very special.
Yeah, this is a special one.
They don't get much bigger than this.
No, it's extra special. You're feeling a laugh in there already. You haven't even said a word yet.
Well, if anyone who turns up to the odd Oz Icons gig might recognise that laugh or that voice.
Yes.
Widow, do you want to do the intro again to this amazing creature?
He is an amazing creature. I love him. Talented guitarist, plays mandolin, plays everything, beautiful voice, lovely man, harmonica, and with himself sometimes.
Yeah.
Greg
the Brown Dog Brown. Greggy Brown.
Good evening. Legend. How are you, boys?
Fantastic, buddy.
Ray's just dished up some mango ice cream for us, and he's looked after us. So.
That was for his birthday, but because he couldn't make his own birthday,
birthday, Dawes.
Thanks, mate. Dawes,
happy birthday.
Yeah, it was on Tuesday, mate. It's all right,
where the fuck were you?
Yeah, it obviously didn't come up on Facebook, did it?
No, well, I don't know why. Yeah, it's weird. Anyway, it's not a big deal. Yeah. It's another day. So.
Well, mate, Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday was a big day.
Yeah, your birthday. Right, and what else? Something else happened? Can I just preempt this before you say anything, Brownie? When I first met you a few years ago, we worked out really quickly that we're both ginormous Beatles fans.
Ginormous.
Just going to leave it at that. Go, Ray.
He loves it. Well, mate, you were telling me, and I was actually in tears in some of the things that you were speaking about, what you went and saw at the Hunter at Newcastle. Just tell us how you were telling me on the phone, because it was really special the way you spoke about the one and only Paul McCartney.
Mate, with pleasure. And, like, I could take up about 10 episodes. Even the more, so it's Thursday today. So in the day and a half, nearly 2 days that have passed, it's just sinking in more the magnitude of what I saw. Obviously, it's Paul McCartney, and, you know, I was born and raised on the Beatles. They are, and will be forever the greatest band and the greatest bunch of musicians and songwriters that I've ever experienced, and nothing comes close. I've seen all the bands of my generation. So I've seen the Pearl Jams, I've seen Buckley, I've seen Nirvana, I've seen Faith No More, I've seen Foo Fighters, I've seen them all, and they were special shows. But to sit in front of an 81-year-old man who played his heart out and gave his soul for 3 solid hours was just the most awe-inspiring and just blew me away.
Greg, just set the scene. Where are you? Yep. Where are you sitting? And what are you looking at? Just quickly.
Yeah. So we get in, we're at McDonald Jones Stadium, so all the Knights fans would know that as the home of the Newcastle Knights, and I've never been there before, obviously, been from Sydney, so we thought, you know, we'd go up there because it's a smaller stadium and, you know, it might be a more intimate venue to see Paul McCartney. So we got there at about 6 o'clock, and I didn't buy the tickets. Friends of mine and Kel bought the tickets, the beautiful Escape. Kel. No, I paid for them. I just didn't buy them.
should have thought about it. Yeah, we
always end up paying.
I wasn't sitting online. Yeah, always. But so I walked in and I didn't really read. I didn't take notice that we had these beautiful plastic tickets with his, you know, photo on it. And I never went, you know, tickets are usually cardboard. I didn't think of any of that. So anyway, we walked into the stadium and they're walking me and I'm like, oh, here we go. We'll go up into the nosebleeds. But no, we were on the floor. We were in group in section C. So there was the stage, section A, section B, then section C. So we were about, I'd say 60 metres from the, from him, from the stage. And it just, he didn't have a support band, you know. At the start, there was 2 giant screens on side of stage, and 20 minutes leading up to the start time, there was just this beautiful moving picture for 20 minutes, and it was a building, and it started at the basement, and it was pictures of John, of Paul when he was young, and then you went up the building a bit, and then it was him as a toddler, and kept going on, and then teenager, because him and George were obviously friends very early, And then it went up, and it was just this moving picture for 20 minutes and went through every stage of his life, you know. So it did the Quarrymen, it did the Beatles, and then it did Wings, and then it did his solo, and it did Linda and the Kids. And then, you know,
he's 81, isn't he, Greg? He's 81.
81. Yeah. 81. Yeah, he's turned 81. So, you know, he's done all right. But, yeah, and it went through, you know, the times in with the Maharaja or Maharishi or whatever he was called. Yeah. And then it went to pictures of him and Elton John, him and Michael Jackson, him and Dave Grohl. Him, and you just started getting this real sense of, oh, my God, I'm seeing, like, an absolute icon. Yeah. And it really started to build anxiety, you know, in me. And I was like, the music was getting louder. Yeah, and that's what it felt like for me. And I just couldn't take my eyes off this moving picture. And you know, then I started thinking, oh, my God, when this crescendos and he comes out, he's just going to appear in a ball of smoke and he's just going to be Paul McCartney on the stage and it's going to be, oh, my God. So I'm waiting for this humongous entry. You know, like Adele gets pushed to the stage in a box and she springs out of the box. So I was expecting some grandeur, and I should have known better. It starts and this man just walks from side of stage, walks onto the stage. It's Paul McCartney. There's no fanfare. There's no box. There's no smoke. It's just a man walking out and just goes, hello. And then goes, that's it. Just goes into the microphone, hello. And then just goes, 1, 2, 3, can't buy me love. Bang, you're in. Can't buy me love, first song.
Oh, my goodness.
And you just go,
my goodness.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's just phenomenal. So there you are. He's on. Then he starts on the Hofner bass, you know, and you're just like, oh, my God. This is just the greatest thing ever. So he goes, he does Can't Buy Me Love.
Is that, hang on, Brandy, is that that's the original bass?
That's the Beatle bass
that he plays in all the...
The original bass. He's had it forever. All the instruments he had were all old. So he jumped off, you know, he jumps off the bass and then will jump on an electric guitar. And then he jumps off the electric guitar onto his old acoustic guitar that you see in all the Get Back sessions at Twickenham. It's the same guitar. And then he, 81 years old, jumps off the acoustic guitar, bounds up the steps. Like, bounds up the steps. I'm 46 and can't bound up a step. He's bounding up steps to jump on his piano to just start ripping other songs. Like, so he does Junior's Farm and he does Letting Go from Wing on piano, then jumps back down and jumps back on the bass and plays She's a Woman. Like, She's a Woman. Like, are you right, are you? Like,
singing proper, there's no backing tapes, he's just him.
It's just him.
Was he? Sorry, Greg. Was he waving his hands in the air and blowing up? If the sound was okay, or was it?
No, he wasn't doing it. You know what, though? I will say halfway through, he goes, "I'm feeding back all over the place tonight." So he wasn't happy, but the consummate professional just kept rocking through it.
Okay, you know,
sorry, Ray. I just had to.
Brownie, how was his voice? Because the more I Google the Beatles, and I was only saying to Ray and Dorsey today, I Googled them, I think it was 1964, some music awards in London.
Yeah.
And made his vocal performance live with the band, the songs he sang from yesterday to, what's that really grungy one I'm singing? Oh, baby, yeah, baby, ooh, Some Fun Tonight. The difference between... The difference between yesterday and Have Some Fun Tonight vocally is a marathon. And he covers everything. So I think he's got to be one of the greatest vocalists of all time. But how were his vocals at 81?
So he doesn't have the voice he had, don't get me wrong, and you could hear the frailty in his voice. But at the same time, am I allowed to swear on this podcast?
Yeah, absolutely you are.
Yeah, everyone wants to hear you swear.
That motherfucker still has a better voice and a better range than me.
Yeah.
Like, and I pretend to get up and be a fucking singer every weekend.
No.
Like, I'm telling you, I was 81. Trying.
Wow.
At 81. So he jumps, and I honestly thought, surely he's going to dog some of these songs, you know, some of the big songs where he gets up. He didn't dog anything. He jumps on and plays Maybe I'm Amazed and doesn't.
Wow.
Very difficult song. Oh, he gets up and did all the ending bit where he really...
Yep. He gets into it. And like I said, you can hear the frailty and you can hear the years in his voice, but he just did not back away. He didn't shy away. He went, no, this is my song and I'm going to nail it. And nailed it.
What about his band? Because the lead break in Maisie, I'm a...
Didn't have a big band, did they, Greg?
And this blew me away as well. I was expecting, you know, an E Street band, bring 400 people. It was the Oz Icon. It was two guitarists, and one of the guitarists jumped on bass when Paul got off bass. There was a keyboard player and a drummer. That was the main band. There was three horns players that would come in and out, but they weren't there all the time. Other than that, it was just the five of them.
What about backing vocals?
Not one. The drummer did backing vocals, so he did all the harmonies. And they all sang, all of them sang, but no shoe-up girls or whatever they're called. But it was just the five of them rocking out. And they are all phenomenal musos, you know. Like, they are obviously all phenomenal musos. But they're all, you know, one of the guitarists must have been with him since straight after Wings, because he's not a young bloke either. But, geez, they can play. Oh, God, yeah. They can play.
Could you imagine Paul McCartney ringing you up going, listen, I'm going on a tour. It's probably going to be me last. Do you want to come and play in the band? Like, far out.
You okay to do it? No, I'm too old.
Yeah, I'm too old, man. Yeah, I don't want to go.
I'm 68, man.
And not even, we're not just going to do an hour set and get off. No, we're doing a full 3-hour show.
Wow.
Could you imagine Ray Nosty doing 3 hours?
Ray would be saying, imagine? I'm not doing that for $250. You're fucking kidding.
I'm not here for the sound check. He's going to stick that up your ass.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
He's driving around the stadium outside looking for a spot.
Do you reckon Paul was getting paid $250?
Nah, probably $300. Yeah.
What about his playing, his musicianship?
Phenomenal. I was saying to Ray, he did Obladi Oblada. Yeah. And the great bass run in that blows me away. Like, and he just nails it. And it's just effortless. Although, I will say this. Do you know what I love? But you know how when you start playing, and I say when you start playing, I still do it to this day. You know when you're standing up and you've got a guitar on and you just flip the bottom up just to make sure you're in the right starting position on the fret so you can see, so you turn the guitar up. He did it for every song. Grabs the bottom of his guitar, pulls it up so he knows he's starting in the right place.
Yeah, I have to do that because of my stomach, my guitar...
But then he doesn't look down again.
No, that's it.
Champion.
You know what else?
How can you sing like that and play like that but not look down at those bass runs? That's ridiculous.
No, he's ridiculous. I think he's not real. I think it's all a charade, personally, because there's no one that can have that much talent. And you know what? I think he's a robot. Paul must have died. They must have been right that whole time. That 3 hours, he had one sip of water.
You can tell that Greg hated this concert.
Mate.
I'm jealous,
You were bored to tears, mate.
Hey, buddy, how was his hair?
I don't know. He's got unbelievable hair.
Can you believe
it? Unbelievable.
It's so unfair.
I have serious hair envy every time I see him.
But look, it's so good. It's just so unbelievable. Tell us some of the... So he played the older songs mixed in with everything.
Well, I want to know what percentage of Beatles songs to Wing songs or his songs? What was that?
So it was a pretty even split. More Beatles than anything.
Yeah.
Because when he came back on for his encore, he had about 4 minutes off and then comes on for an encore and then just does Birthday, Helter Skelter, Sgt. Pepper's Reprise, Carry That Weight, Golden Slumbers, The End. He just did it all in a run.
What?
Yeah, jeez. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. But for me, I cried twice, and I don't mind saying it on your podcast. Yeah, I honestly...
Tell us what happened, bud. Yep.
Broke down. So he gets this ukulele, and he puts this ukulele on, and he says, you know, George Harrison was a phenomenal ukulele player, and he gave me this ukulele, and I cherish it, and I love it. And so in memory of George, let's hear it for George. And the whole crowd goes, he said, we're going to do something. So he just stands there and starts singing and playing Something in the Way.
On a ukulele.
Oh, yeah. And then behind him, there's all pictures of George.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And it was really emotional. And Kel Kelly was sitting next to me, and she's not a Beatles fan at all, and she was in tears. You know, it was just beautiful and moving. And then the second time I cried, he did "I've Got a Feeling," and they had. So I don't know if you,
John,
it's a great song. Yep, John does. Everybody's got a wet dream.
Yeah.
So in John's part, John comes up on the screen and he sings his part. And
they did that at that big, what's the big concert they have in England? And he did
Glastonbury?
That. Yes, he did it at Glastonbury this year. Yeah. And I saw footage of it then with John doing that part. And I was just gobsmacked watching it on my computer. Fuck, man, what was it like being there when that came up? I would have cried too.
I was in tears. And it was just the emotion of it all and seeing that. And you know what? Got a bit teary as well when he was doing songs, and there was pictures of Linda, and there was pictures of his, you know, of the kids in his jacket and stuff. And he finishes and he says, "That baby in my jacket now has four babies of her own."
Wow.
And it's just like time flies. And when he had John, he said, "It honestly feels like I'm singing with my best friend again." And I was just like, "Oh, I'm getting teary now just talking about it." and that's what he said. He's just there's just so much I could tell you. You know, like when he starts telling stories about Jimi Hendrix, he's like, we released Sgt. Pepper's on a Friday night, because in those days you release your albums on a Friday night. And he said, and then we went and saw Jimi Hendrix on a Sunday, on that Sunday, and it was me and John and George and Eric Clapton was there and Roger Waters was there, and you know, Jimmy came out and did a version straight away of Sgt. Pepper. So he got the album on the Friday night, had learnt it, and played it on the Sunday. Yeah, and he said, you know, he was doing it with a big Bigsby wah-wah. And he said, if you don't know anything about Bigsby whammies, he goes, they go out of tune as soon as you use them. So he said, we stood there, you know, with our mouths open and listened to him play his version of Sgt. Pepper's. And then we all looked at each other and went, well, what's he going to do now? His guitar's going to be out of tune. And he said, and the cheeky bugger called out, this Jimi Hendrix, like the king of, you know, guitar, calls out and goes, Eric Clapton, are you there? And Eric goes, yeah. And he goes, can you come up and tune this guitar for me? And Eric Clapton goes, tune it your buddy self.
Imagine being able to tell a story like that and drop those names.
Unreal.
Like it's nothing. Yeah. Like it's just nothing, you know what I mean? And it's when you hear those stories that you get more of a sense of whose presence you're in. Like, it was the most phenomenal and it's life-changing. I saw a Beatle. I will never forget that as long as I live.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
No, don't, Brownie. I can't talk now.
Oh, yeah. It's really tough, man. It's really tough.
Seriously, Dawes, I'm tearing up now.
Speechless.
Yeah. It was that. And then you got all the, you know, Live and Let Die and the millions of fireworks go off. And then at the end of it, we're all screaming, and Paul's just, you can just see him on the screen, and he's just, you know, mouthing, no, don't scream, it's too loud, and fakes a heart attack and stuff like that. That Liverpool cheekiness and charm is still very well entrenched in him. And you know, he talks about riding the benefit of Mr. Kite, and he says, oh, you know, I just went around John's, and he had a picture on the wall, and it had all the words there. He said, all I did was write them down. It's not hard writing songs.
Of Mr. Kite, there will be a show tonight on trampoline and the bass. Bum, ba, bum, bum, ba, bum, ba, bum, ba, bum.
Oh, is that the one?
Benefit will all be there. We just want our bankers fair. Don't be late. Mr. J&H assures the public their production will be second to none.
You guys are mad. Yeah.
And of course,
and the bass
Henry
just
the horse
his
touches
vocal.
The wall.
Unbelievable. She came in through the bathroom window.
Man. That's the that's all the back end of Abbey Road.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Lady Madonna. Yeah. It's just all there, you know. Like, I thought of you just going, Wits would love this, man. It was Blackbird, and it's just him on an acoustic guitar, no one else on the stage, and the stage rises up, and it was just unbelievable. if there was tickets to Friday or Saturday night, I'd go again.
I've got two. Sorry, Andrew. Todd and Elise walk in the other day, and I was just saying, oh, Greg, by the way, went and saw you. He goes, oh, this girl at work can't go on Friday and he's got two tickets to sell.
Are you going?
No, I've got to go to the wedding.
No, I wouldn't go. I swear, if there was a ticket available for Saturday night, Andrew would be doing our duo solo.
No, this is for Friday night. This is for Friday night, tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Do you want them? Do you want them or what?
Nah.
Okay, do you want them?
I'm going away now. We don't go, brother, go.
Oh, mate, I'm just thinking about it now. Seriously? She's got two tickets.
Well, that's what she said to me yesterday.
We better ring her straight after this thing. I told her.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Press pause and ring her.
Well, we can't. This interview is flowing too well, mate. We can't interrupt this.
Yeah. I'm quite the wordsmith, let's be honest.
Unless Ray wants to go to a commercial break, if you've got something like that.
No, I've got no other items, have I? Have you got anything? What are you wearing at the moment?
Me?
I'm wearing the.
Dorsey's wearing the Levi's.
A blue kind of Hawaiian sort of style.
No, the jacket.
The jacket. It's a Levi's coat.
Nice coat, isn't it? What are you wearing, Widow? Paper planes. And what are you wearing, Gregory?
I like to talk on the phone in the nude. The nude.
Oh, is that a brand? Is it a clothing brand?
Yeah.
Take your hand off it, mate.
Yeah.
In French, it's nudie.
Nudie.
Hey, so was it easy to get out of the stadium after the McCartney thing, or was it, you know, like getting out of Leichhardt Oval?
Basic. Straight out. Boom.
Wow. Lots to like about Newcastle.
Yeah, I would go again. I would go and see another show there. They reckon they were saying that hopefully Paul McCartney being there will put it on the map and more bands will go there.
Yeah,
awesome venue.
Yeah. Sure. That would have been huge for Newcastle having him there.
Yeah.
Huge.
Absolutely huge.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I love it. I think he's going somewhere else in Queensland. He's going to, obviously, Brisbane. But he's going somewhere else as well, Narang, or maybe not Narang, or maybe I'm making that up. But he's going to another regional kind of place up there. And it's great. Like, we need to support regional Australia because it's 100%. Dying, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Tell me about the merch.
Yeah.
Was there a lot of merch for sale?
Probably, but I didn't go anywhere near the merch tent. Oh, can I tell you one thing that was awesome, though?
Yep.
The bar. So they had the bar set up right in the middle of what would be the oval, right? It was unreal. So I just got out of my seat, watched him all the way to the bar while I was standing at the bar buying drinks, still watching him, and then all the way back. So he didn't miss a single bit of it. It was awesome.
Great idea.
And they had Brookvale Union ginger beer, so it was like awesome all the way around. Yeah.
Mate, that's such a big night for you. You must have thought you'd had an accident in the car on the way and you're in heaven.
Mate, absolutely. But I was nervous going there, but I drove home. So I drove back to the mountains or the mighty Penrith, go to the Panthers after it.
Slip that in, didn't you? You just had to. And after a three-peat, I would be too.
Our guest before yours was saying there's a bit of trouble out there.
Yeah, nasty.
What trouble?
Yeah, trouble. Trouble in Penrith. And what was that suburb he mentioned? Tilopia or something?
Oh, that's around Parramatta.
Oh, is it? Sorry, that's your old story.
Yeah, anyway, continue, mate.
I'm an
Parramatta Bankstown,
I'm an Eastern Suburbs boy. West of Anzac Parade, fuck that.
Yeah. That's where life begins.
But saying Bankstown and Parramatta are the same thing is like saying Maroubra and Bronte are the same.
Not good. Don't go there. Keep going. Brandy. Yep.
I was buzzing the whole way home and I couldn't listen to any music coming home. And I just kept, because I did about eight videos, just short snippets. And I just kept watching them over and over again. I got home at, I think, 1:45 in the morning, and I just couldn't sleep. I was just buzzing.
That's what I'm like after an Oz Icons gig. I can't listen to anything else. I'll go get home really late and just keep buzzing.
Yeah, mate, it was just the best. When they say don't go, you know, don't meet your heroes. Okay, don't meet them, but go see them live in concert because they'll blow the doors off. But, you know, and I hate... You hear all the time people say, oh, yeah, the Beatles, they were just in the right place at the right time. They weren't. They were just that good. I mean, I've been thinking that a lot ever since. I saw one of four, and he was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And they reckon that John was the charming one. Yeah. Imagine seeing all four of them together. Yeah. Like,
oh, mate.
I'm just glad we've got footage to watch, mate.
Yeah.
100%.
So special.
Just want to change the topic a little bit. Yeah. Sorry to butt in, but to give Greg Brown a rap.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a come down from, you know, Newcastle Stadium to Oatley Hotel. But, Greg, that duo that we're doing in December, that private function for the 50th birthday.
Yeah.
Got an email today saying, can I confirm that Greg will be with you in the duo? It's Greg's voice that really impressed me at Oatley Pub, so that would be great if he can be there.
Oh,
how cool's that? That's pretty good, man, really.
Oh, the love.
That's beautiful.
It is, man.
It's all about you, man.
That's it. He's the star.
That's great. Good on you, Bill.
Feel a bit of pressure now.
You're going to try to get out of that gig too, eh?
Yeah.
Go on now.
Now that we mention it.
I wouldn't be worried about that, champ, taking the new ball in a test match. Now, that's fucking pressure.
That is pressure. That is pressure.
That's
especially because I can't bowl.
Well, the great story, here's a cricket story I'll throw in. A young player, when Keith Miller was at the back end of his career and captaining New South Wales, a young player came to him in the dressing room and said, oh, skipper, the pressure of playing first-class cricket. And the kid obviously didn't know that Keith Miller was in the Australian Air Force and fought in the Second World War over the Battle of Britain. And he went like this. Two Messerschmitts up your ass, champ. That's fucking pressure.
Hey, can I ask you a question, Widdo? Is Keith Miller, is he any relation to Funky? Wasn't there a Funky Miller?
Yeah, there was. Yeah. No Colin relation. Miller. Colin Miller. Yeah, right. No relation.
Yeah.
I thought he was great.
Yeah, he was great, Funky.
Good value.
Spent a lot of time with Funky. Fantastic bloke. Married a golf professional, American golf professional, and now lives in Vegas.
Yeah, no one's seen him.
Really?
Yeah, he lives in Vegas now, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, remember he always had blue hair?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Funky Miller.
Yeah. Geez, I better try and get a ticket and go on Friday, hey?
After he goes, I'll ring them up and see if they've still got that ticket.
Yeah.
Yep.
I love his, at the end of it, I loved McCartney's optimism. See you all next time.
Wow. What a fucking legend. Fair dinkum. Absolute.
I would have loved to have seen that.
How can you, for me, be one of the greatest vocalists of all time, one of the best bass players of all time, but plays drums, guitar, piano, plays everything, and wrote some of the songs that he wrote with John Lennon on his own, just there forever.
Yeah.
Yep.
They're like Mozart or Chopin or something like that. They're going to be there forever. I mean, we're listening to Beatles songs now, and it's already been over 50 years.
That's right. Which is pretty much more than five times the length they were together. Mate, they weren't together 10 years.
I know. The Beatles. That is insane in itself that it was all over before they were 30. Any of them were 30. Yeah. It was all over.
And when you look at those Twickenham studio, you know, the Get Back sessions and stuff, you go, oh, this is the end of their career, old men. They were 27 or something.
Mate, how the fuck, you know, you and I are devotees, but how do you write and how do you write all of that stuff, all of those albums, all of the – it's all unbelievable. Yeah, oh, yeah, that song's better than that. But even the Dud song's a good song. You know what I mean?
Great.
How do they do that?
No fillers.
I agree with you. They're fucking aliens.
Yeah.
And they're just down here to entertain us.
He played a Quarrymen song.
Wow.
He played In Spite of All the Danger, and it's a kick-ass song. And it didn't even make a Beatles album.
Yeah. Wow.
Unbelievable.
And then fast forward to something like, I don't know, A Day in the Life. Think about the books that have been written on the first chord or the first note of A Hard Day's Night.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
Bling. Like, there's been full things. Like, they were just, and you know what? George Martin had a lot to do with it. And rest his soul. And so did Brian Epstein. Absolutely.
Yes,
but
yes.
They were just phenomenal.
And Yoko, too.
No, look, Yoko had a huge amount of influence on them breaking up.
Yeah.
But,
breaking them up, that's right.
Yeah.
Fascinating. And because I know you so well, Brownie, I'm feeling all the emotion, the energy.
It's unbelievable.
The mind-blownness of all of it. Wow. What an experience for you, bro.
Next time I see you, Kelly kept taking photos of me because she thought it was so hilarious because I was just sitting there with my jaw dropped. But it was hilarious. But it was all those things. It was it was the best. And that's my review on Paul McCartney in Newcastle.
That was brilliant. Yeah.
And talking of Oz, talking well of Oz icons and wits, that our next gig together is at the Oatley Hotel on the 4th of November, which is
can't
only
wait.
The week after
that's
this
next
one.
Week.
Yeah,
I don't think I'm doing that one, am I?
Oh, no, you're not actually.
No,
you were doing that. Yeah. I've got it here, but because of well, we won't go with this public.
Boo.
But is there a boo here?
Boo.
No, come on, haven't they found a room for
no,
you?
That's not right.
So are we not? So we don't not. Andrew, you got me all excited. You tease.
Well, I've got in my calendar here wits and Oz icons, but I then yes, I've been because you know of the dressing room or the lack of the dressing room situation.
Illawarra Yacht Club might be my next one. Yeah. Or
no, 11th. No, the 10th of November at the Juniors.
Oh, South Juniors. Ooh, in Henry's room. That'll be good. Home game for me anyway. And doors, home game.
Yep.
We've got to turn that on for Widow's home game.
That's it, Brownie. Good on you, mate. Buddy. Good on you, mate.
Anything else you'd like to talk about this evening, Brown Dog?
No. I love you all.
How was work today?
Yeah, work sucked. There was no Paul McCartney gig.
Paul McCartney, that's right. Brown, I can't wait to see you, brother, and put my arms around you.
Yeah, man. Thanks for pulling over and talking to us, mate. It was lovely. Thank you, mate.
Anytime for you, boys. I love you.
Love you, brother. Mate. Dunno, mate.
You know what that music means.
How's that?
See you, Brown Dog.
See you, boys. Bye.
Bye, buddy. Bye.
Bye.